And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Now I should be joined on the line by John Fitzgibbon. Good morning to you, John.
How are you doing, Debbie?
I'm not too bad. How are you this morning?
Good. I'm great, thank you. Yeah.
Great. Now, John, you've done a lot of research in the past couple of months. Now, before we even go any further than this, you're not medically trained. You've just got you start researching vitamin D and a little bit about COVID. Tell us how what this all started.
Well, I retired, so I've had a good bit of time in my hands. So I spent a couple of hundred hours looking into vitamin D and what the medical people around the world effectively think about it. Mm. There's a particular guy, John Campbell, a Dr. John Campbell in the UK, who's been putting up information on it since last January. And he came up with a report back early in September saying that tests in clinical trial in Spain showed that 50 patients who were treated with vitamin D, a form of vitamin D, only one required admission to CPU. These now were in hospitals, but only one had to be admitted to CPU. But 24 similarly infected patients, half of them, they weren't treated with the calcipidiol, which is the form of vitamin D, and 13 of them had to be admitted to ICU. So they had serious problems because they weren't treated with the vitamin D. Now, the other thing is that of the 50 patients treated with the vitamin D, none of them died and all were discharged without complications. But of the 26 not treated with it, 2 died, and 13 of them, half of them, had to be admitted to ICU. So, effectively, what he was saying, and was amazed, because he had done so much research, that this didn't lead to people being told that they needed to be taking vitamin D, particularly in countries like this where you don't get a lot of sun in the winter time in the cold weather. And we've noticed, everybody notices that the people who are dying are all in the 70 plus and 80 plus and so on age group, and they are particularly deficient in vitamin D for a range of reasons. Some of it just age and other factors that a lot of them wrap up when they're going out because they feel the cold more, so they don't get the sun.
Mm.
And the vitamin D, of course, is normally got by getting sun, and of course it needs to be high sun as well, you know, that, and enough of it.
Hmm.
So anyway, there's a lot of other research. For instance, there's a vitamin D deficiency that in one case they studied it in another different one, and people below a level of 20 nanogram, you know, doesn't matter, but just the figure 20 is adequate, of those who are in hospital, 99% of them died, 1% recovered. And of those who had sufficient vitamin D, which is over 30
ng,
only 4% of them died. In other words, 96% recovered. So there's a whole lot of research like that, and all of it is coming from reputable sources like that doctor who has a high degree, that doctor that I mentioned.
John Campbell.
And there's another one then. That there were another study, 489 patients who had their vitamin D level measured the year before COVID-19 testing started.
Yeah.
And with those, the people who had adequate or inadequate vitamin D were 1.8 times more likely to get COVID-19.
Really?
So all in all, I mean, as I said, there are a whole range of studies like this.
It seems to be, John, like at the beginning of this COVID, we've seen a lot of the chemists selling out of vitamin D because we had kind of at the beginning been told as well, like vitamin D it can help with symptoms or can help prevent COVID. So I know a lot of the chemists were selling out of vitamin D. Now, in Ireland, as you said, a lot of us have a vitamin D deficiency. I'm one of those people and I never knew that I had a vitamin D deficiency up until January of this year, before COVID. And I have, I get my bloods taken every year because I have high cholesterol, and every 6 months.
Right.
And I have never, ever been tested for vitamin D until I went, I went to a clinic for something else, and they happened to do a test for me. And my vitamin D was extremely low. So I was put on a really, really high dosage of it. Now, maybe it was luck. I just found out in January before this COVID, because I was getting infections, a lot of chest infections. Yeah. And I do have asthma. My asthma was worse as well. Now, since Touchwood taken this, it has improved. So I'm kind of asking, do doctors generally not do vitamin D when they're taking bloods? Why they don't?
But the interesting thing is that I asked a local doctor here if there was anything I could do to sort of, because I'm in the age bracket that's more likely to be in serious trouble if I happen to get COVID. I asked, and of course he said kind of offhand, well, take vitamin D, you know, you can get it in any chemist. But the interesting thing is that Dr. Fauci, that's the head man in the USA who advises the government and the president there, he's taking 5,000 international units, which is a relatively high level. Most people don't need to take anything like that. But he's getting like around the 70 mark. So he's taking that and vitamin C as well as a precaution. But at the same time, people in the States haven't been advised generally of the need or of the possible need and to have themselves checked out to see if their vitamin D levels are low. This Dr. Campbell that I mentioned, who has been onto this now since way back early in the year, is taking vitamin D as well. He's taking sort of 50 nanograms. Which, and you can get this, even in super sort of the likes of Tesco and so on like that.
Supermarkets, yeah.
But I say, Dr. Campbell now, who is very well qualified, doesn't, he points out to people he's not recommending them because he doesn't know the level of their, of vitamin D that any particular person has. But he's telling them that that they should check it out and so on. And it would be very, very effective in, against things like flu as well.
It
guards against all sorts of infectious diseases, and it's the natural way to save yourself from serious trouble with these things.
And I wonder, sorry, John, I wonder if people are listening in this morning and are deciding, well, I'm going to take a supplement of vitamin D just in case I am low. Would it do, Annie, I wonder, would it do any damage if you weren't low in vitamin D and you started taking vitamin D? Is it okay?
My understanding is that the kind of the sort of amounts you get in the ones that can be bought in supermarkets and so on like that is quite low. One that I take is said to be a high dose, but it's actually 25 nanograms. But as I said, that's a fraction of what Dr. Fauci is taking, and it's half what Dr. Campbell is taking. People who are interested should search the internet, do a search for Dr. John Campbell, and they'll find a lot of his talks there. They can listen to them and decide for themselves. And say, none of us can define how much anybody should take except a test like you got done. That's the way to know exactly what people, what level people have at the moment, you know.
I didn't even realise how important it is, vitamin D. You know, like, it's so important for your bones and everything.
Absolutely, yeah. And indeed, it's shown in some of the research that colon cancer, the risk of colon cancer is reduced by 50%. With small doses of vitamin D, certain heart conditions are reduced by 10%, and this is all known information kind of thing in the medical profession. So you know, it seems to me that the medical authorities here are highly deficient in that regard. I mean, they've done great work in other respects, but that particular one, they don't seem to be prepared to take the kind of action and recommend the kind of action to people going to have their vitamin D checked and act then accordingly.
Exactly, and I wonder, I'm sure it'd have to work out, you know, cheaper for the for them to test everyone's vitamin D, like they were all kind of been offered the flu jab, to just get a simple blood test done of your vitamin D. And if, what the way I found, I was extremely low. I was like 8, I think it was. And I was put on a really high dosage of it, right? There was a tiny little liquid I had to take. And it built up quite quick. So in the long run, maybe, you know, if everyone got tested and if people are deficient quite low, to get them sorted, would it not work out better in the long run for our health system?
Absolutely, because the tiny fraction of what things are costing at the moment. Mm. The other factor is that we keep being told that the answer is to wait for the
vaccine
researchers to come up with an appropriate vaccine.
Mm.
But that, you know, might come this year, it might come next year, it might be successful. and the thing about it is that your level of vitamin D will determine to some extent, in other words, how effective the vaccine is as well.
Mm. True.
Because it works with your immune system, and your immune system is critical. If it's totally inefficient, then the vaccine won't necessarily work either, or work as well.
Well, John, you have to find out, why is it not done in a regular blood test? Why isn't it your vitamin D taken when you go for it to get your regular blood test done? Have you ever asked that question?
Well, I mean, any of the doctors now that are writing about it are very frustrated, you know, an awful lot of the people who have studied it deeply are very frustrated by the fact that anywhere it doesn't seem that people are being recommended, even though it's well known. As you say, some of the chemists are out of it from time to time. I mean, I've been passing the word around to all and sundry. I've emailed a lot of my contacts and asked them to take it and given them the evidence. And this evidence, again, should be put up on the internet, as Dr. John Campbell has it up there, but other sites should have it up as well. And the medical people here should be saying, get yourself checked. And if you are below, if you are above a certain age, the elderly, as I say, 90% of the people dying are over 70.
Mm.
And that's because as you get older, your ability to produce vitamin D is limited. And therefore, most people over those ages should be on some kind of supplement.
Exactly.
But if they're very low, like you are, in fact, they need high dose initially to bring them up to an appropriate level, and then a small dose on a regular basis, particularly during the winter.
Exactly. Yeah. But I wonder why it's not regularly done with your regular blood tests. Now, when I did get the results, I know I had to wait a little bit longer for the vitamin D, so it must go somewhere else. I don't know. I have to find that out. But it's very, like, why, you know, we should all be getting it checked out, especially with this COVID, and how, like, you can be going around for years with, like I probably was, and I didn't know, with a very low vitamin D. Now, I know you brought all this to the HSE, and did they get back to you?
Yes. I mean, I got on to them early September 1st, and they said it had been referred to the chief clinical officer. You know, they thanked me for the information and said it had been referred to the chief clinical officer. But I've been on to them again and again since that. I mean, I was just asking the question, look, if I'm wrong in this, you know, tell me, and I won't bother you or I won't bother anybody else.
Mm.
But they haven't been able to say I'm wrong, because I'm quoting people of high reputation, you know, from around the world. And telling them, like, the people like Dr. Fauci, the top man in the US, is taking a high dose of it because he's in his around the 70 mark now. And this Dr. John Campbell is taking a level of 50, which is twice what you get in the ones that are available in Tesco, you know, the kind of supposedly high-dose one in Tesco. So, I mean, all the evidence that's there is that people, particularly older people. Now, there is another factor in this. I mean, that some younger people as well who have what they call comorbid conditions, in other words, who have disease that makes them more vulnerable, as it were, than most young people, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be enough for them to go and take a small dose like the 25. They might need to take far more, but unless people are tested, they won't know.
And that's what we have to find out, John. Why aren't we getting tested for vitamin D?
That's That's right.
We have to get that out there, and I want to find out why, because as I said, half of us could be going around with deficiency quite as low as mine, and mine was very low. And my sister as well, maybe it's in her family, I don't know, but hers was really low as well. But now she's gone on to develop bone, like osteoporosis, yeah. And that, where probably that could have been prevented. I know we're talking about COVID, but there's other stuff as well that it can, if it's, you know, caught in time maybe and you take a vitamin D, it could prevent like things like that with your bones.
Well, exactly. I mean, I haven't got flu vaccine only about 3 times in my life, and I'm now in my 80s, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't get flu.
Really?
And I mean, the other factor, I mean, is that a lot of people aren't eating as well as they should be eating.
Exactly.
A lot of people eating junk food and things like that, and not getting... not just vitamin D, but not getting vitamin C and other things like that that also have a significant effect on the immunity, yeah, at times like this, you know, in the winter time particularly, you know.
And John, did you get your vitamin D checked?
No, I didn't. No, I'm one of these people that's cocooning.
Okay.
Because of my age.
Yeah.
So I'm less likely to... get COVID than most people are, but I am on vitamin D. I take the 25 nanogram one.
Yeah.
I probably should be taking higher, but the thing that people need to kind of consider is that the vast bulk of people who are in real danger are the people in the 70s and over.
Yeah,
you know,
and over.
90% of those dying are that age group.
Yeah.
And in Canada, the top people in Canada have said that no child has died, not one child in Canada in all that time, you know, since early in the year when this thing broke first. So
yeah,
it's quite
amazing. Yeah, I think you're right what you say. So you're cocooning, and how are you finding it, John? Are you have you people coming into you? Have you gone out at all? Have you been in all the time?
Well, I get out and about into the parks and so on like that,
good,
you know,
yeah,
and there's no problem then because you're well separated from people.
Yeah.
I do what's more or less recommended by the authorities.
Exactly.
When, what is recommended, not more or less, you know.
Yeah.
But there wouldn't be, if people had been tested and so on like that, and those who knew they were in danger would obviously need to cocoon, or, you know, take all the precautions. But those people in the up to the sort of 60s, if they were okay for vitamin D and were sure they didn't have other conditions that would make them liable to be in trouble,
yeah,
they could act normally. The society could be opened up again, you know.
So you
for
have
most
been
people.
John, you've been cocooning, so you've had time to research and you've gone into it in depth, because I've been reading through what you sent to the HSE, and fair play to you. We could talk for another half hour, but I have to finish up now, John. But listen, thanks a million for talking to us this morning and highlighting this, because I think, you know, we really should be all getting our vitamin D checked, especially here in Ireland, where we don't get much sun, and even sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes we need the supplements to go with it. But thanks a million for taking the time out and talking to us today. And if you hear any more or hear it back from the HSC, do let us know and we'll have another chat.
Okay, could I say again for people that if they check on the internet, just do a check for Dr. John Campbell. They'll get up the information. He's a highly qualified guy. Or if they look up the Journal of the American Medical Association from months back, or indeed the British Medical Journal, there are articles on both of them that give the information that I've given to you and to others. And all reputable people. Okay, so I wouldn't expect anybody to listen to me
it's great. It's loads of information there, and I think you're right in what you say. I think we need to all get our vitamin D checked. But thanks a million for talking to us, John, and you look after yourself. Okay,
thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a million. Thank you. And that was John Fitzgibbon there talking to us about how Fishman D might help to prevent COVID-19. He has done a lot of research. As he said, he isn't medically trained. He has sent all the research into the HSE. They did get back to him, and he's waiting for more information from them. And fair play to him. Like John has said, he's in his 80s. He has been cocooning, so he's had time to look up all this. And if you are going for bloods, just do mention to your doctor, can you take my vitamin D and see how it is, because as I said, I was very, very low, and only before I got a blood test just in January before COVID-19, before this all happened, and I had started on a liquid, a very strong liquid, and I'm still on it now, not as high a dose, but I take it once a month. But I've never been checked for the vitamin D, so just if you're popping along to get either your flu or your bloods taken, just ask, can you have your vitamin D checked?